Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6 we're going to read from. And I don't know, but I'm excited about what's coming up. We've heard about Run for Hope. And also in the end of October, we're going to be having a European Women's Conference. It's going to be held right here in Manchester. So at the end of October, beginning of November, you're going to have Holland that are going to be here, London, Liverpool, South Africa are going to be here, America are going to be here, and Manchester's going to be here. And so exciting things are happening, amen. And I believe that God wants each and every one of us to be a part of that. And so I want to share a word today. It's about having a new perspective, having a fresh faith. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram responded and he said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So he, that being God, took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to look up. I was saying this morning that sometimes I look at children when they're playing. I look at my kids. My kids are away for 8 days in London, and I was watching them on that Run for Hope video, man. I was getting emotional. I miss them already a little bit. And so I was saying this morning that when you look at children, do you ever get that kind of voice in your head or that feeling like you look at them and think, what I would give for life to be that easy again? You remember, sometimes you look at children, how carefree they are, how much fun they have. And I was speaking about that, isn't it? It's easier as a child to make friendships, right? And when you get older, friendships get complicated. That's because we get complicated. But as a child, you make friends easy. Like when I was young and I used to play football, all I needed to do was find a group of boys playing football, and all of a sudden, they were my best friends. Can I kick the ball with you, please? Yep, and that's it. All of a sudden, best mates forever. But as a child, it was easier to make friendships. Even if you'd fall out with your friend, a few hours later, you were best friends again. Now, if you fall out with a friend, you tell Facebook, you delete people, and you do all this kind of thing. But as a child, it didn't last that long. Even as a child, you used to be able to dream with freedom. When you dreamt about your future, when you dreamt about what you were going to be, it wasn't kind of diluted with your experiences and your memories and your fears. When I was a child, I wanted to be a footballer. Then I wanted to be a boxer. Then I wanted to be a vet. It was a little bit random. Then I wanted to be an astronaut. But you know what? I'm glad that God didn't listen to those prayers. And he brought me to where I am today. But as a child, you dream with a little bit more freedom. When you get older and life hits in, sometimes those dreams are tainted with if and maybe, and but not me. And even as a child, you know, children, they don't get insecure like we do as adults. Right, children, that's just their personality. You don't change their personality. You channel it and you mold it and you shape it, but you don't change it. But how many know as an adult, we get aware of ourselves a little bit too much sometimes. We get wary of ourselves a little bit too much sometimes. And I think this is the type of place that Abraham was in when we read this scripture, that he wasn't as fresh and as quick and as excited about his future as he once was. Because how many know when life kicks in, you can get old real quick? When life kicks in, you can age. People always are shocked when they find out my age. They always tell me I look older than I am. They always tell me, you look older than your wife. In fact, she's 5 years older than me. But I don't really get that, because to me, that's not my problem. That's Miranda's, because she's married to me. She has to look at me every day. I don't have to look at me. So for me, I'm like, I'm happy to look older. But yet, sometimes life can take its toll. But I want to declare today, as we go into this word, I want to speak it out, that I believe that God, is bringing each and every one of us to a place where we are going to dream afresh again. We are going to see afresh again. And maybe even you might not know God in that way this morning. I want to let you know today that God's plans for you, God's dreams for you, God's purposes for you are greater than what you could ever dream up yourself. You see, God has a great plan for your life and my life this morning. But Abraham's response to God wasn't as quick and as fresh as it used to be. And maybe he had good reason. When you look at Genesis chapter 11 and you look at the background to Abraham's life, you see a man that had been through some things, a man that had faced some challenges. How many of us have faced some challenges in our life to this day? How many of us are facing some challenges today? How many know that there's times and seasons that things are not always what we want it to be? But yet Abraham, when we look at his life, he was moved at a young age from what would probably be modern-day Iraq to modern-day Syria. And we see he was moved by his family. And in that place where his family moved him, he was settled, he was established, he was comfortable, but there was still something missing from his life. You see, Abraham lost his father. He lost his brother. And the scriptures even tell us that his wife Sarah was barren. She couldn't have a child. You see, even in that place where Abraham was established and settled, there was still something more for his life that needed to happen. And I declare it for you and I today that there is something more that God wants to do in our lives. That God has not finished, but he's just begun. That God is bringing us into a new season and a fresh season. But what it's going to mean is that we're going to have to step out of the comfortable. We're going to have to step out of the familiar and begin to step into a new place. That's what God did with Abraham. You see, the first account we have of God revealing himself to Abraham is in Genesis 12, 1 to 4. God reveals himself to a man who, by all accounts, had his provisions, had his resources, had what he needed to live a comfortable life. But how many know? Comfortable is not the first word on God's mind when it comes to you and I. He's got different words. He's got greatness. He's got destiny. He's got influence. He's got purpose. He's got acceptance. He's got belonging. These are the words that God thinks when he looks at your life. And we see in Genesis 12, 1 to 4, God's introduction to Abraham wasn't a superficial one. It wasn't a, I'm just going to get to know you now, introduction. This was one of those introductions when Abraham's life turned on his head. And it says this in Genesis 12, 1 to 4. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How many know that's a good promise? And it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. You see, God revealed himself to Abraham and began to bring him out of what he was used to, began to bring him out of what he was familiar with. But you see, Abram's response, it doesn't say that he questioned or he doubted. It says that when God spoke, he responded. Maybe there was some doubting, maybe there was some wavering, but the scripture tells us that it wasn't a long thing, that actually when God spoke to him, there was this kind of faith and a purity of spirit in Abraham that said that if God has spoken it, then he will do it. I was sharing a story this morning about our daughter, Brooklyn. She's 7 years old. And I was talking about this purity of faith that she has that inspires me. And we were in a situation where we didn't have a car. And we said to Brooklyn, if we're ever struggling with that, Brooklyn, you need to pray, girl, because this girl prays like it's about to happen now. And we were in the car that wasn't working. And she was like, she began to pray. And she said, Lord, we pray for a new car. And we were like, amen, yes. She said, Lord, I pray for a car with 7 seats. And we were like, preach it, that's it. She said, I pray for a car that's working, that's clean, that's all of these things. Our car was cleaner before. She was praying for all of these things. And we were like, yes, amen. And she said, and I pray for a car with a TV in it. And as she was praying, I turned around, oh, ye of little faith. And I was like, Brooklyn, you'll find that that's an aeroplane. That's where you see the TVs. You don't find them in cars. But lo and behold, a week later, someone came up to us and gave us a car. And coming out of a roof right in front of her seat was a TV, DVD. See, When you're willing to believe and step out, my friend, anything is possible. But it takes an obedience to say, you know what? I'm not going to stay where I was. I'm not going to do it how I used to do it. I'm not going to depend on what I used to depend on. God will always bring you to a place in your life where He is the only one you can depend on. He is the only one you can trust in. I believe strongly that you can't lift your hands and say, God, you're all I want, until you've come to a place where God is all you have. That God will come through in your life when you step out of what you're used to and step into what is unfamiliar and uncomfortable. John Wayne said this: courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Sometimes that boldness and that courage is what we need. A lot of the time when we're looking at what God's will is for our life, I don't believe it's that sometimes we're not sure of what God wants to do. Sometimes we're just not sure that God is able. But God is able. God is able. Some of us are going to come into times and seasons and moments that you didn't picture yourself in. But my friend, God is with you. God is before you. You see, sometimes, and I don't know if you get a witness to this, but sometimes God will bring you to a city that you didn't choose for yourself. How many know some people didn't choose Manchester, but God brought us to this place for this season, for this time, because He's doing something. Some of you didn't choose the job that you're in, but God brought you to that job for a reason. Some of you might not have chosen that relationship, but God gave it to you for a reason. Sometimes God will shake your foundation. He'll turn your situation around. He'll get you to dream bigger and think bigger, but He can't do it while you're sitting in the same place you were a week ago or a month ago. God will bring you out from where you were and bring you into His plan and purpose for your life. How many people can get a witness to that this morning? Sometimes we need God to shake our foundation, because His plans for you are greater than what your plans are for yourself. His plans for your children are greater than your plans for your children. I want to encourage you this morning, if any of you are believing for your children, I want to know, sometimes our children don't go the route that we've planned for them. But my friend, God has got a plan for them. So don't become discouraged. Don't become distracted, because God's hand is upon your child's life. God's hand is upon your husband or wife's life. It might not look how you want it to look. That because God's plan is not your plan. He's doing something. This is a scripture, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, that God gave my wife and myself when we moved up to Manchester 3.5 years ago. And we were worried, we were nervous. New friendships, new people, a new church, a new city. We were living in London for many years. And we were worried. We were nervous. But when God brings you to a place, He goes before you. I remember praying. My wife was self-employed. She was in advertising. And I remember praying, because 99% of the jobs in her work field were in London, and he maybe had a couple of places in Manchester. She was very good at what she did. And I remember praying one day, and I said, God, let her reputation go before her. Let her reputation go before her. Because when God is taking you somewhere, He will make a way for you. He will prepare that place for you. He will prepare the people for you. He'll prepare that job for you. And I began to pray, and I said, God, let her reputation go before her. We had about £7 in our bank account about a week before we were going to go to Manchester and move with our children. But we knew that God had told us. We got wisdom. We prayed. We'd fasted. We knew that God was doing it, but we still needed a breakthrough. I remember praying that prayer, and I don't remember if it was a couple of days before or a couple of days after. Miranda got an email in her junk box from a company in Manchester saying, we've heard about you and we want to employ you. God will go before you. God will make a way for you. God doesn't do plan Bs. God doesn't do alternatives. God doesn't do backup plans. God doesn't do deposits. God wants you to life. He wants to use you. He wants to raise you up. And there's an encounter that I believe we can learn from a little bit in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 18. I want to read a couple of verses. It's a man by the name of Jacob. And he came to a place in his life where his situation and his circumstance wasn't everything he wanted it to be. How many people can say there's maybe an area of your life today that's not exactly how you want it to be? It doesn't look what you would like it to look like. It's not got the life that you want it to have. But yet when God brings you to a place, I want us to look at this, we see that God is in this situation. Genesis 28, verses 10 to 18 says this: Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. The first thing we see is that even though Jacob was at a place that he didn't want to be, he still made the best of it anyway. He took the stone that was there and he placed it under his head and he slept on it. You see, Jacob looked at the situation, and although it didn't look exactly how it wanted it to, although it wasn't his destiny fulfilled, although he was in a place of waiting or wondering, Jacob didn't back down. Jacob didn't shy away. Jacob took the best of what was in that place and he began to use it for God's honor and God's glory. He took that stone. You see, if it was like you or me, maybe, he would have looked around and he wouldn't have seen anything to be thankful for. He wouldn't have seen anything to use. But when God brings you to that place you're in, even if it's not the best place, even if it's a place of waiting, there is provision in that place. There is favor in that place. Jacob took the stone, a hard thing, a difficult thing, a rough thing, and he took authority over it, and then he had peace in it. Notice he slept on the stone. Some of us are in a place of toughness and hardness, but God can still give you peace. Some of us are in a place of wondering or waiting. God can give you that stillness. Jacob slept on that rock. Has anyone got a hard thing in their life right now? Something they want to see change? My friend, God can give you peace in that place. But you see, Jacob wasn't consumed by what he didn't have. He was focused on what he did have. He was focused on what God had put in that place. And you notice it says in verse 16, in that dream, God revealed himself to Jacob. And Jacob awoke from that hard place. Jacob awoke from that difficult place. And listen to his words. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. How many people got a hard place right now? My friend, God is in that place. God can reveal himself to you in that place. It can get crazy. It can get messy. It can get chaotic. It can get discouraging. Maybe you didn't see yourself where you are today. But my friend, God will use that stone in your life. He will use that hard place. He will use that hard relationship. He'll use that hard dream. And he will birth a victory and a miracle and a dream through it. But you got to pick up your stone and take authority over it. You got to pick up your issue and take authority over it. We can be still in the hard places. We can know that God is in control. And that's where we come to Genesis chapter 15, where God revealed himself to Abraham again. We see that Sarah was still barren. We see that some situations had remained the same. And in much regards, Abraham had grown a little tired or a little doubtful. But yet the scripture says that God took Abraham outside. I love that image, that God took Abraham outside from his issues, outside from his struggles, outside from his doubts. And he painted a picture for Abraham of, this is what I want to do in your life. I believe that God took him outside at night because he didn't want the clouds. He didn't want the haziness. He didn't want the distractions. But he brought Abraham outside and said, look up. What you see is your legacy. What you see is your destiny. What you see is your purpose. For Victory Irish Manchester today, whether you're visiting or you're a part of this church, God has a destiny and a vision and a purpose for your life. It's time to dream again. It's time to look up again and believe that God is able to perform his words. But when you look up, what do you see? Do you see someone else's dreams? Do you see your past mistakes, or do you see a fresh slate? There are seasons and moments and times in God's word. There are seasons and moments and times in your life where there is a newness that is released. There is a fresh move of God. But the scripture says in Isaiah 43, do not dwell on the past, but perceive God is doing a new thing. That perceive means to experience. It's not a knowledge. It's not step back and just see. It's a perception that says, I'm going to be a part of the new work that God is doing. God took Abraham outside. But you see, Abraham came to that place of faith. After doubting and challenging and protesting, the father of faith, the one who is known for having faith like no other, still struggled and doubted at times. But we see in Hebrews 4:2 what made the difference. What brought Abraham to that place of believing that God was going to perform his word. It says this in Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in those that heard it. The difference was faith. You see, God's word is consistent. God's promises are faithful. God's presence is accessible. The difference is our response to God's promises, our response to God's word. And it's our responsibility, like Abraham, to call the things that aren't as if they are, to step into those areas where we think that God is not able to do it and find that God is more powerful than we could ever realize. God is able to move in those situations. But he has to bring you out of your comfortable. He has to bring you out of your familiar. I used to do removals for a company, and I was sharing this morning, when I was doing these removals, there were certain jobs that you never wanted to do. It wasn't the biggest jobs. Like if someone had a 6-bedroom house in Knightsbridge or wherever it might be, a nice area, that was a great job. You prepare, you'd get ready, you'd do it. It wasn't the jobs that were the furthest. Someone might be moving from Scotland to like Cornwall. That's cool. You get in the van, you have a nice drive, you sleep, you relax. It wasn't that. You know the most difficult job? The most difficult job was the people that didn't realize how much stuff they were taking from their old life into their new. You'd call them, you'd say, what have you got? They'd say, a few bags, a box, a wardrobe, and a buggy. And you're like, oh, okay, but you live in a 5-bedroom house. And so you'd go over there and you'd find a whole heap of stuff that this family were taking from the old into the new. And I began to think about how that relates to our life. That many times there's things that we take from the old and we bring it into the new. And God wants to relieve us from that. And there's times and moments where we don't realize what the old has left in us until it pops up and until relationships happen again. And in that same way, I believe this morning that God wants to bring us out from the old and bring us into a new sense of destiny, a new sense of purpose, a new sense of obedience, a new sense of faith. But we have to come away from the old and come into the new. You see, Isaiah 43:18 and 19, I mentioned it briefly. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Some of you may have a wilderness right now. Some of you may have a wasteland right now. Some of you may be just fine, but I want to let you know this morning that when God is beginning to do something new, when God is beginning to do something fresh, he will call you out of where you've been. I'm not saying he's going to get you to move house. I'm not saying he's going to get you to turn your life upside down, but he will bring you to a place where you're not comfortable anymore, where it seems bigger than you, and God will birth something new in your life. Yeah. I was sharing a testimony of when we went to London. I'm going to begin to wrap it up in the next 5 minutes. When we went to London, we went and stayed with my wife's sister. And she picked us up from the train station. And I quote her words. She said, I've just seen something horrible. And she told us that as she came out of her house, she lives in South London, there was a man that was opposite her house who had collapsed and he'd stopped breathing. And already, as she came out of her house, the helicopter was there, the ambulances were there, the police cars were there, and we were doing chest compressions. And she picked us up from the train station, all of this was already happening, and brought us back to the house. And when we got back to the house, they were still doing it. And he was 15 feet, as far as this front row is away from me, I could see him. And they were doing chest compressions. Then they got the defibrillators, whatever it might be out, I can never remember the name, and started to shock him. And it was about 30 to 40 minutes, this man was still not breathing. But for about the last 15 minutes, I was praying. And I stood opposite this man, and I was praying. And I began to pray. And I began to say something. I began to say, Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, breathe life into him. Breathe life into him. I was waiting for them to cover him with a blanket. I was waiting for them to give up. But I kept saying it. Ruach Elohim, where there's death, bring life. Where there's lack, bring fruitfulness. Ruach Elohim, the breath of God, breathe into him. And all of a sudden, after about 40 minutes, he began to breathe again. They turned him on his side and he was breathing again. After 30, 40 minutes of no heartbeat, 30, 40 minutes of death, all of a sudden, God breathed into his life again. And I declare this morning that there may be areas of your life, there may be areas of your family, there may be areas of your ministry, or of your job, or of your finances, where you need the Ruach Elohim. You need the breath of God in your worship, in your prayer, in your faith, whatever it might be. I declare today that God is able to birth death out of life. He's able to declare fruitfulness out of a wasteland. If things might have been okay for you, but God has more for you. It's time to look up and dream that God is able and God will perform his word. Ruach Elohim. God is able. God is able. But you know what the key is? It's not your emotions. It's not the people around you. It's obedience. It's obedience to the will and to the voice of God. Abraham could have stayed in that place, and I honestly believe, my opinion, I always say that, if it's my opinion, I'll tell you, that I think Sarah would have remained barren. But when he was obedient, and he stepped out, and he stepped into the will of God, something was birthed that he could not have imagined. There is something happening in our church, in our city, in our generation, where God is going to birth something new. God is going to birth something fresh. And believe it or not, that includes you. That plan includes you. It includes your marriage, your children, your family, your gifts, your vision. It includes that. There's something new happening in our youth ministry, in our gang. You can see it. Something is being birthed. There's something new happening in our worship team. There's something new happening. And God's brought you here now for that time. Maybe you're visiting today. I'm not saying that you have to be in Victory Outreach. What I'm saying is God wants you to hear this word right now, that God is going to breathe something fresh. He's going to stir something new. As we stand to our feet, I want to share an image that God gave me. And then I want us to respond to the Lord. I really believe that there's a response that we need to bring to God today. There's nothing special or magical about this altar, but there's something about stepping out from where you are and responding to God. I don't know if you remember as a child that toy called Etch-a-Sketch, where you would draw something and then you'd wipe it clean and then draw again. How many people remember that? Just so I know this image is going to work. You draw an image and then you'd wipe it clean and draw again. And God gave me a picture that's what he's trying to do with many of our lives. That there was a picture that was drawn, but he's trying to wipe it clean and begin to paint a fresh picture for our life. But the trouble is that we're trying to get God to draw the new picture on top of the old one. And when you draw the new picture on top of the old one, it gets messy. When you draw the new picture on top of the old one, it gets confusing. And I think some of us here, we may have been confused or discouraged, but I want to declare today that when we allow God to wipe that picture clean, and sometimes it didn't work the first time, you have to do it two or three times, that there is a blank page. There is a blank picture. And God is bringing us into a place where he wants to breathe afresh and fresh promises, fresh visions. Some of us have been sitting on things, and God wants to begin to bring that to the surface. There's dreams that we've been sitting on, but we've been trying to get God to draw on top of the old one. We need to let go and begin to allow that wasteland, that barren place, that dream begin to become a reality. Let's lift our hands in this place. As a worship team leaders, I want us just to begin to worship him right now. Begin to speak to him. Even begin to ask him, Lord, a fresh breath, a fresh move, a fresh outpouring. As a worship team leaders, let's lift our hands and just begin to worship him in this place. Fill the sanctuary with praise. Well, let's engage right now. Let's lift our hands and just worship him. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. First one is for those of us that have allowed things from our old experience to creep into our new. Maybe there's things that we've found out about ourselves. Maybe there's things that we've seen that we don't want to be there, but we know are not a part of God's future for our life. I want us to respond. And secondly, maybe you say, you know what? I need the Spirit of God to stir something fresh in my life today, to breathe, to stir into an area of my life. Was the worship team leaders again. I want to open up these altars. And you come and you respond to the Lord this morning from wherever you are, from the front to the back, the left to the right. You come and just begin to engage with God.
Thank you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.